Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer, test yourself to see if you're in the Spirit. Prepare your morning for worship of our Heavenly Father and Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this humble assembly. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for all of the outreach that you have given this assembly on the internet, young people, missionaries, so many different ways, Heavenly Father. And for our own assembly right here, our home, our relationship with one another. We pray that this morning will be a wonderful morning of praise and of worship of you and of your Son, our Savior friend, Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. After walking out, actually even before, listening to the ending of the production Amazing Grace, that's what we got to sing this morning. Judith says, well, you might be disappointed if you're going to compare it with that. But anyway, let's stand and sing Amazing Grace. What page is that?
165.
Thank you for your comments. First of all, Pat, how's Dalton? Now, what happened was his surgery was put off from last week to tomorrow.
Yeah.
And, you know, God does these things. We have our timetable. Now, God, I'll tell you right now, my wife hates me because I need to know now what's going to happen next three Fridays from now. What's going to happen? And what time do we need to do this? I have my time when things ought to be done. Well, God has His timing. And it's always going to go by my timing and our timing. But His timing is always best. So whatever has happened in this week, in Dalton's life, has been a blessing in disguise. People, please be in prayer for the surgeon's hands, his eyes, his talent, his art. And be in prayer for Dalton and the family. So it's tomorrow morning at 10:30, that's Eastern time. 10 o'clock Eastern time?
It'd be 9.
No, yeah. So, please be in prayer in regard to Dalton and that respect. Any other prayer? Yes.
Larry is traveling today to see with her sister and help out.
Very good. Very good. Let's be in prayer for Larry. Is Brian going with her? Let's be in prayer for Brian. Let's be in prayer for Ryan. Let's be in prayer for them as they travel. Any other prayer requests? We'll be in prayer as y'all make plans. And be in prayer for your mom and dad. People, if you have older people in your life, talked to them. Jim Young went out and he walked and fell, and that probably speeded up his departure from the earth. And this gentleman, lady behind where we live, she was in the back and fell and was down for 3 or 4 hours. I didn't even know it. I lived right behind her, but she didn't have a phone or anything. And finally her daughter went over and I told her she needs to wear a phone. Well, she's home. She died a couple weeks ago. So, any other prayer requests? All right, let's be in prayer for Ray. He is a believer. Please be in prayer for camp. It's coming up. And I encourage you, it is not too early. Every day, pray in some respect of the camp. Every day. I don't care if it's just 60 seconds of your life. Every day. Pick something. Pick the young people in different ways. That the Holy Spirit will start working on them right now for what they will be learning about their Savior friend. That the Holy Spirit will keep away a troublemaker. That wouldn't be a distraction to others in learning. Be in prayer for the staff. Be in prayer for traveling. Be in prayer for the teachers. Be in prayer for the food. Always pray for the food. And just be in prayer. Pick something and be in prayer for it in regard to the camp. A wonderful opportunity. Unbelievable things are happening at our camp. Now, we don't see it at this church. But I guarantee you, when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to receive reward for what's going on in the youth camp. So please be in prayer. Any more on that? You want?
Be in prayer for Jody.
Jody?
Come back.
Okay.
Yeah, we have
134
kids
coming in.
And we planned on 100. Yeah, we're trying to figure out what we're
going to
do with 34 of them.
You might have a home open up for 34 kids, get it back and forth. Hey, a story about Jody Brown, his grandson, when last year. I don't want to go to camp. I went to camp, to a church camp once. Had a horrible time, didn't like the people, they didn't like me, didn't want to come. But his grandpa was going to come down and pick him up in a really cool car, and that did it. Yeah, so he picked him up, brings him. He fell in love with it and learned so much and still talks about things he learned to his family. And he wants to come back this year, and that to me is just a real blessing. So please be in prayer for the travel of different people. And coming to the camp. Anything else? Pray. Yes. Name Tim. Okay. Pray for Tim and his family. And his younger daughter now is having problems. And his wife. Be in prayer for him. Please be in prayer for him. Please remember Wednesday night. It's going to be very good. Let me just share this with you. It was shared with me with no intention of me repeating it. But I talked with John Hensie yesterday, and we were just talking about how things happen in a pastor's life, and we're studying, we got to do this, got to do that. Well, he lives in a little cul-de-sac, and there's an older man lives in a cul-de-sac, just a middle-class cul-de-sac, no big deal. And John's and Jude befriended him, and the man was honored. He's a big, John didn't realize the extent of it. He knew that he was. He's a big figure in Tucson sports. So they had a really big honorarium for him at a large auditorium. And John was asked to speak 5 minutes because they had a lot of speakers. He said, I was the only one that stayed within my 5 minutes. But anyway, unbelievable response in the gospel. He got up, only one who gave the gospel, and he got up and he said, I do not know the man's name. So that's just, he said, James was knowledgeable of what was needed for death, his faith in Jesus Christ alone. He knew, and then John just listed all the things that they were praising him for, how he did this, and how he did that, and how he did this. And he said, James knew those weren't going to get him into heaven. James knew those weren't going to honor with God. The only thing that was going to be honoring to God was his faith in Christ. Thank you. And he sat down. And he said the response was, he said one man came up and he said, I am so thankful to know that James is a born-again believer. I've often thought he might be, but I didn't know. And just different people, different response. Who he did not get any response from, three other pastors, no gospel given, nothing, no content, and they didn't say anything to him. They didn't have anything to do with him at the reception. But this was just wanted to share that with you. Very proud of John and his opportunity. The Word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth a gracious giver. Gracious giver is defined as one who has personally believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. People, it's our opportunity to support so many outreaches of the gospel, the internet, the young people, publication, and right here in our own assembly. But it costs in Satan's world. With these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, you've heard the request being made for prayer. Young people, families, individuals. And Father, we just thank you and we praise you that we have a God who cares. We have a God who is intimate with his believers. Father, we just thank you for the opportunities that you've given this assembly. And pray therefore you receive the offerings that we're about to give. Continue to use them to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ, our Savior friend. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, one more thing before we get into our study this morning. Those of you that were not able to make it to the 9:15 class, you missed it. Chris Day was super. And I mean, you really missed a wonderful study in the book of 1 Peter. And I just so encourage you, set your clocks, get up a little bit early. It'll be well worth it next Sunday morning to be here at 9:15. But unlike the ordinary preacher here, he gave us assignment. We are to read 1st and 2nd Peter. So, you might want to do that over the week. It's not that going to be that big of a chore. And I cannot encourage you enough to come next Sunday morning to hear Chris Day. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. Purpose of this prayer, test yourself. See if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit. He is the one that is the teacher. This is an unbelievably important study dealing with the judgment seat of Christ. It is going to happen after the rapture. Right after the rapture, every one of us must stand before Christ. So let's prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God in prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are that you warn us, teach us, encourage us in regard to things in the past, in the present, and indeed in the future. Pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to the importance of our preparation for the judgment seat of Christ, so that, Heavenly Father, we will rejoice on that occasion. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, this morning, does anyone not have the handout Live Your Life in Light of the Judgment Seat of Christ. Anyone not have a copy? Okay. Well, we need, and Chris, right over here, need one. Live your life daily in light of the Judgment Seat of Christ. Make your life count for all eternity, not just for now. This study on the Judgment Seat of Christ has taken, obviously, much longer than I first thought or anticipated. But we've learned a great deal about just how important our lives after salvation will be as far as eternity is concerned. People, I've told you many times, the Bible doesn't deal with too many stories of the salvation journey of people. Paul was an exception. Most stories, we don't even know. But we know of their journey with Christ as born-again believers. The whole story of David. We don't know when, at what point, but we know that he is a believer. So, what is important? Certainly salvation. That's why we give people the gospel. But now what happens after salvation? What you do with your life is an issue. We have covered many passages that should encourage each of us to anticipate with joy, not with fear, but with joy, the rapture, and what follows right after the rapture, the judgment seat of Christ. We entered this study from Colossians 2:18. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize at the judgment seat of Christ by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels, taking a stand on visions he has seen or dreams he has dreamed, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. People, you do not want to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and not receive a reward of Jesus Christ. You don't want to be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. And people, remember one of our lessons we studied, 1 John 2:28. Now, little children, abide in Him, so that when He appears, the rapture, we may have confidence and not shrink away from Him in shame at His coming at the judgment seat of Christ. There are going to be a multitude of believers going to be in shame. You mean after all that I did for you, after all those sermons I preached, after all that money I gave, after all this and all that, I get nothing? People, let's be sure we understand the basis of the judgment at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. And as we close now the study of receiving rewards at the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to look at a variety of points on commendation after the rapture. First, biblical eternal rewards. Do not allow anyone to tell you that receiving rewards in heaven is not all that important. And they're going to sound so pious. Well, I don't do things for reward. All this kind of stuff. Don't fall for that, people. We should serve the Lord because we love Him, not to receive rewards and all this. People, please remember, God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ set up the system of rewards. It will be Jesus Christ who will be giving them, not somebody else. So don't let anyone defraud you, cheat you out of rewards by telling you it is not all that important. It is vitally important. It is important to Christ. It is important to you. It is important to you for all eternity. So it becomes a great issue. So Jesus Christ Himself will distribute these rewards. Remember that God both made and delighted the soul of man, where mankind would have the proper understanding of rewards. People think, I were raised. We were reared as babies. Oh, you did this, you did that, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. Here's this reward, here's that reward. Sometimes the reward was not getting a spanking, and that was a good reward. But the ideal is, this is part of our nature. Think of how much we study in school, go go to college. All these kind of things. How much people, athletes put into it. Since the Bible is filled, the New Testament is filled with athletic analogies. The boxers, the Olympic runners, all these people. For the prize. For the golden apple. For the wreath. For the trophy. See? That's why they do it. That's why you labor that way. Now, one. Inheritance. We're dealing with biblical eternal rewards. Inheritance. This is mentioned first to distinguish it from two other doctrines. That we are heirs of Christ. It's distinguished from that. An entrance into the kingdom. In contrast with being heirs of the kingdom. Every believer in Jesus Christ as Savior shares the heirship of Christ. Romans 8, 16 and 17. All believers share the heirship, which means every believer shares the eternal life of Jesus Christ. Heirship is part of our eternal security. In fact, there is the reward of the inheritance in the kingdom. Every believer in Jesus Christ will enter the kingdom. But there is reward, a special inheritance to certain believers. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11. And we, pastor teachers, desire, and this is my desire for you, that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, the rapture. Verse 12. So that you will not be sluggish. Don't be sluggish in your Christian life, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. The adjective sluggish is used to describe a believer as slow moving, inactive, one lacking energy or alertness. Why? Because they do not walk in the Spirit. They do not grow in the Word of God. These believers will not inherit. They will enter the kingdom, but they will not inherit. So as inheriting the kingdom and entering the kingdom, you've got to make these distinctions. Let me just tell you, the passages we're looking at are greatly contested, talked about, dealt with theologically. They seem to contradict each other. Entering the kingdom, inheriting the kingdom. I thought if you're in it, no. Entering the kingdom is different from inheriting. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 6:9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, homosexuals, thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers, will inherit the kingdom of God. We know from the gospel that anyone who believes in Jesus Christ has eternal life. But what if any of these were to live their lives after salvation in the manner just described? They do not inherit rewards in the kingdom. Here again, you tell anyone this and you will be noted as a bigot, a racist, or even mentally ill. People, this is from the Word of God. Yes. All right. Heaven is the total and handsome, the third heaven, second heaven. The kingdom is where believers will be living, some in the New Jerusalem and some on the New Earth. Those are the kingdoms of God. Kingdom means that they have a king ruling over them. Heaven is just the abode. Okay? So we know from the gospel, we know fornicators will and can be saved. If they believe in Christ, they're saved. People, we know that homosexuals are saved. This passage does not teach they will not be saved. Got to understand that. It's teaching they lose out on rewards. The same understanding of Galatians 5:19. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and then I love Paul, and things like these. Just in case I missed you, I'll include you in this phrase, and things like these, of which I have forewarned you. Just as I have forewarned you, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Does that mean they're not saved? No, they're saved. People, if somebody just gets involved in strife through their life, that's a lot of people. A lot of people. Jealousy. There are Christians who live their whole life jealous. Jealous of others in the church. Jealous of others in life. They're saved. They've not learned about walking in the Spirit, or else they're not doing it on a consistent basis. But they're saved, and they will be in the kingdom. But they will not inherit it. Again, they will certainly enjoy eternal life in the eternal kingdom of God. But they will not inherit the kingdom. And yes, people, it does make a difference. Oh, girl, as long as I'm there. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. In my early days, before understanding the fullness of Scripture, I used to love a hymn. Lord, I don't want to imagine, just build me a cabin in a corner of the glory land, beneath the shade of the tree of life, that it may ever stand. Amen. See? No, I don't want just a cabin up there. I want a mansion that glorifies Christ. See? So, then, they will certainly enjoy eternal life in the kingdom of God, but they will not inherit the kingdom, which means they will not inherit the rewards of the kingdom promised by Christ. Unlike crowns, the rewards of inheriting the kingdom are not specifically mentioned, as in 1 Peter, and I beckon you to come Sunday morning, because one of these next few Sunday mornings, Chris will get to this. 1 Peter 3:8. To sum up, I love preachers, we like to do that. Now to sum up, of course, he's got the rest of 1 Peter and all of 2 Peter. But to sum it all up, all of you, be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you were called the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. The blessing is not described, but knowing the faithfulness of our Heavenly Father, you can count on it being something special, something wonderful for all eternity. Secondly, treasures. Another term used of heavenly rewards without specification. Matthew 6:19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, which you've got to get an alarm system, lock your doors, protect with a gun, clean off the dust, hide them, all this other stuff that you get with earthly treasures. See? We had a plumbing problem in the house, and had to do a lot of things, so we're moving stuff around. And I just thought, you know, if we didn't have all this stuff, I wouldn't have to be doing all this work. I could be back there studying and not be moving the stuff around. Just a lot of trouble. Okay? All right. Now, so this is the treasures. But store for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, nor dust gathers, and where thieves do not break in or steal. Those are the things we worry about in our treasures on earth. Hide it, protect it from being stolen, protect it from burning up in a fire, protect it from all these things. The Greek word means to store up a treasure for future use. That's right out of a lexicon. I love this. We store up things on earth only to lose them, or become too old to really enjoy them, and then they're given to somebody else. Here, we can actually store up treasures to be used throughout all eternity. Throughout all eternity. It'll be yours. One of the funniest things of growing old, my grandchildren, every time they come over, I want that, I can put my name on there. I want that, I can put my name on that. I want that, I can do that. Can I have your guns? Can I have your knives? Can I have this? Can I have that? See? Nobody wants my Hank Williams albums. But that's beside the point. But the thing is, this is the difference in these rewards. You fill up these treasures. You don't have to protect them. You don't have to secure them. They're secured in heaven. And they'll be yours for all eternity. Three, and I love this one, rule with Christ. Christ is in authority. You get to rule with Him. One of the noblest of rewards will be the privilege of ruling with Jesus Christ. This reward is described in a parable by Jesus Christ. Luke 19:11. Let's just read through this. Won't take but a minute. While they were listening to these things, Jesus went on to tell a parable. I remember parables. They don't make it clear. A lot of people think he gave parables so it'd be clear. He tells you. He tells us in Matthew, I spoke in parables so you won't understand it. That's exactly why he spoke in parables, so you take the lighthearted or the lightheaded, get the superficial. There's something deeper involved in parables. Okay. Because he was near Jerusalem, and they supposed that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. You can't imagine the disciples' disappointment. They had it all figured out. Christ, okay, he's dying, okay. Well, he's going to immediately bring the kingdom in No, didn't happen, hadn't happened yet. Alright, verse 12. So he said, a nobleman, went to a distant country to receive the kingdom for himself and then return. Now, I don't want to get into allegories. This is where it's dangerous. This is a perfect picture of Jesus Christ going to heaven. Verse 13. And he called 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 minas. Minas is about 100 days' wages. And said to them, do business with this until I come back. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. When he returned, that little 14 is very important in the whole deal, but when he returned, after receiving the kingdom in heaven, he ordered that these slaves to whom he had given the money be called to him so that he might know what business they had done. The first appeared saying, Master, your mina has made 10 mina more. Wow. And he said to him, well done. And it'd be great to hear Jesus Christ say that to you at the judgment seat of Christ. When you stand up and look at him face to face, each one of us will individually, how wonderful it would be to hear him, the first words out of his mouth, well done. Okay. Good slave, because you have been faithful in a very little thing, you are to be in authority over 10 cities. The second came saying, your mina, master, has made 5 mina. And he said to him, you are to be over 5 cities. Another came saying, master, here is your mina, which I kept put away in a handkerchief. For I was afraid of you, because you're an exacting man. And you take up what you did not lay down, and reap what you did not sow. He said to him, by your own words I will judge you, you worthless slave. Did you not know that I am an exacting man, taking up what I did not lay down, reaping what I did not sow? Now, of course he does, but remember, parables, double language. Verse 23. Why did you not put my money in the bank? And having income, I would have collected it with interest. This is in the first century. Then he said to the bystanders, take the mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 mina. Principle, under God's economics, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Remember that. Don't ever get mad about it. That's God's economics. Verse 25. And they said to him, Master, he has 10 minas already. I tell you that to everyone who has, more shall be given. But from the one who does not have, even what he has shall be taken away. But these enemies of mine, who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slay them in my presence. Where's the love of Christ? Where's the love of God? People, please understand, His love is conditional. He gave His Son to the whole world unconditionally. Being a recipient of His love is conditioned on your relationship with Christ. You do not have that, you receive His wrath. Please remember that. Regardless of what the Pope just said, there is an eternal lake of fire for those who refuse to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. Receiving the reward of rulership is also taught by Jesus Christ in the parable of talents, Matthew 25:14-30. In this teaching, Jesus Christ utters the words, well done, good and faithful servant. That to me would just be, I wouldn't even need a reward. That would be it. If my Savior said, well done, good and faithful servant. Thank you. To have that estimation from Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you love these words to be said of you at the judgment seat of Christ? People, you can. Be faithful with your spiritual gift. Be faithful with your spiritual opportunities. And how we are faithful? Faithfulness in the fruit of the Holy Spirit is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22. So if you consistently, by walking in the Holy Spirit by faith, being filled with the Holy Spirit by faith, being led of the Holy Spirit, then you will be faithful in all things. In your marriage, in your single life, work, fellowship, local church, every area. What is so important here is to pay attention to the word, well done, and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. Let me just share this with you. I'm human. You don't think I can see big churches when I'm driving here? When I'm driving around town? Put on the TV? See big churches? Yeah, that gets me. Wow, that's really cool. Look at that. The little things I have. That's what I will be based on, my faithfulness. Be faithful, the little things. So, we are, as I like to say, modest. It's our opportunity, people. It's our own little area that He's going to look at. Not going to be compared. When we get back to John 21, Peter's going to want to compare himself with John. Lord's going to say, hey, Peter, don't worry about anybody else. What are you going to do with your life? Don't compare yourself with anyone else. I'm not worried about anyone else. It's you. What you do, with what I give you, that's what I'm going to be basing it on. So that's the great issue. So don't try to pull that line. Well, the pastor teacher has a lot more opportunities than I or the missionary does. No, that is not the basis upon which God is going to judge. Christ is going to judge. This judgment will be based on what He has given to you and what you did with what was given to you. Now, as we close the study of rewards at the judgment seat of Christ, let's summarize some bases for receiving the rewards. One, again. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear, every one of us people, before the judgment seat of Christ. So that each one of us, may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. What is good is what Christ, through the Holy Spirit, produces in our lives. What is bad? Bad can be doing wonderful things. Got to understand that. Bad? What do you mean bad? I'm responsible for all of the stained glass windows in this church. I'm responsible for this. I'm responsible for that. All done in the flesh. Bad. How can you compare with all that I've done with what this guy's done? This guy gave a measly amount of money every month, and he did it, and I never saw him do anything great. What do you mean? Well, he witnessed to people. He prayed for people. He worked with the young people. He worked with the missionaries. He did this and that in the power of the Spirit. That's going to be the difference between good and bad. So that becomes a great issue. John 15:5. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. What we do apart from Christ means what we do in the power of the flesh is nothing to God. It's bad. I don't care how good it may be before men, it's bad. It's only what's done in the power of the Spirit. As Joel Wall points out, if, quote, if this verse is to be read literally and absolutely, we must conclude that unless Jesus Christ is producing something of value in us, our efforts are absolutely worthless. Absolutely profound statement. If our works are worthless, means they're bad. That Jesus Christ in us by the Holy Spirit is seen in John 14:16-21 and all of Romans 8, specifically Romans 8:4. So that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who produces the works in us and therefore makes them good. Romans 8:8. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. They can do wonderful things. They can work hard. They can give money. They can sing, they can do this, they can do that, they can even be preachers. But if it's done in the flesh, it's nothing. It's nothing. See? Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Pleasing God is by the Holy Spirit, people. You want to live your life to please God, not man. Please God. What pleases God? Living by faith in His Spirit. Glorifying His Son. That pleases Him. And it's that simple. You don't have to achieve a great deal on planet Earth by man's standards. You don't have to worry about all that stuff. You don't have to spend hours in front of the mirror. Multitude amount of money for clothing and all this. Live your life in light of eternity. Live your life by faith in the Holy Spirit. Glorify Christ. Glorify God in the glorifying of Christ. It is so difficult for many to grasp this. It is not the act that is considered good or bad, but the power by which it is produced. By the power of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ who is in you. Secondly, the obedience that Christ will reward believers is the obedience that is faith. If you have been here this morning, Chris Dagg studied on that. First, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You please with that you did this. You please you did that. You please that. No. What pleases God is when we do something by faith in His Spirit. Secondly, in the first and last sentences of the book of Romans, Paul specifically says, the obedience that is faith. It is not the obedience to do good deeds. Any unbeliever can do good deeds from the human standpoint. But the unbeliever cannot produce good deeds in the power of the Holy Spirit without living by faith in the Holy Spirit. People, unbelievers do some wonderful things. Very admirable things. And if I went around criticizing them, boy, I'd really be in trouble. See? It's not those things that count. What is done in the Holy Spirit that counts. Third, substance of faith. People, faith has no power. There is no power in faith. Faith has no merit. There is no merit or power in faith. The power and the merit of faith is always in the object of faith. It is so important that we understand there is no power, no merit in faith. This is why it does not matter if you have a whole lot of faith or just a small seed of faith. Faith does not work. When your faith is in God, God does the work. God the Son saves. God the Holy Spirit causes us to be spiritual. Fourth, faith is passive, not active. Faith is the means by which we receive and are benefited by what only God can do, and this starts at the cross. God has so many blessings for the believer, and faith is the only way we can receive the blessings in time or at the judgment seat of Christ. Then from faith to faith in Romans 1, that is faith in Jesus Christ, to faith in the Holy Spirit for the Christian life. And by faith in the Holy Spirit, we receive the works of the Holy Spirit. Faith in Christ, we receive the works of Christ. Faith in the Holy Spirit, we receive the works of the Holy Spirit. 3, also from Joe Wall, quote, Jesus will reward us according to our secondary involvement in the ministry of others. I love this. This is about you, Spring Valley Bible Church, the internet, the young people camp, slam camp, homes where they bring in the young people. Look at Matthew chapter 10:40. He who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of the prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. A cup of water in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's what Joe Wall dealt with, and I like that. But I love what John Hintz has done. He discovered even a more emphatic passage in this subject. It begins in Philippians 1:5. In view of your participating and working together in the gospel, from the first day and now, prayer, offering, support, encouragement. That's their participation, their fellowship. Verse 6, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ, the judgment seat of Christ. Now, in context, this is a reference to the judgment seat of Christ. Here, we have believers participating with others in the spreading of the gospel, and that God the Holy Spirit will bring it to perfect or successful conclusion. That will result in rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. Missionaries, Fassel, the Risleys, people, missionaries that we support, receive rewards in that. See? Now, then John goes to Philippians 4:17. Not that I seek the gift myself, but I seek the profit which increases to your account. Now be careful here. Paul is saying that he is not saying that he does not seek rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. He is speaking of their financial support. So he is saying that he does not seek, not so much, their financial support, though he's thankful for it, but what he really seeks is that these believers will receive rewards, profit, on the day of the Lord, that's at the judgment seat of Christ. It's a wonderful thing, people. You want to receive rewards at the judgment seat of Christ? Pray for the youth camp. Support the youth camp. Do more if you can. Do more if you're led. But I'll guarantee you, at the judgment seat of Christ, I think some of you are even going to be surprised. Wow, I received a reward. All I did was pray for the camp. I didn't know about it. I don't go on Thursday night to their celebration night. I don't know what it's all about. I just support it. You receive rewards. People, wonderful things happen at camp. Every year we've had at least one or two become believers in Jesus Christ. See? And then beyond that, and to me in a wonderful way, others get closer to the Lord. More devoted to the study of the Word of God. Wonderful things happen. Same thing with the Internet. I can't wait. Some Taiwanese, Indian, from the nation of India, the country of India, Africa, comes up to you at the judgment seat of Christ. Thank you very much. Thank you for what? I don't know you. I became a believer. I grew in the Word of God by listening to your Internet that you supported. All I did was get some money for it and pray for it. You were going to receive rewards for it. This is a wonderful thing. See, what God has done here is made us all a team. All a team. We work together. Not in competition. Never in competition. We support one another. In the assembly, in the local church, and in the church universal. We support one another. Pray for one another. Okay? Okay. Four. The fourth category of rewards is confined to the pastor-teacher. I'm just going to mention it quickly. But every pastor-teacher should be aware that the pastor-teacher will receive the strictest judgment. Pay attention. The strictest of judgment. Every pastor-teacher should be aware of this. Only the pastor-teacher will receive the crown of glory. But he will be judged by the strictest of standards. How do I know that? 1 Peter 5:1. Therefore, I exhort the elders, pastor teachers among you, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. This is why this crown is called the crown of glory. Shepherd the flock of God among you. It's God's flock. In John 21, Christ doesn't say to Peter, feed your flock. Feed my flock. Feed my sheep. Tend my lambs. They're mine. They're not yours. They're mine. Remember that. So shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. Many pastor teachers around the world today have masked sordid gain to their own discredit at the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 3, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be an example to the flock. Many pastor teachers lord it over their flock, instead of joining fellowship in the glorification of Jesus Christ. You do what I say. Verse 4. And when the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, whom the pastor teacher are to imitate, appears at the judgment seat of Christ, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. And doesn't that all just sound so nice? Boy, look at what the pastor teacher gets. That's so good. Well, let's find out how good it is. James chapter 3, Verse 1. Let not many of you become teachers, my believer, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. Every pastor teacher needs to know this, have this imprinted on their soul, if not on the wall. Every pastor teacher should know this verse from heart at all times. While 1 Peter 5:4 is an encouragement, James 3:1 is a strict warning. And make no doubt about this. While many pastor teachers are getting away with sordid gain and lording it over others, now they will be deprived of reward at the judgment seat of Christ. And we add that to 1 John, there'll be shame. And while there is sordid gain, last only a short while, they will be without the crown of glory for all eternity. Remember, the crown of glory does not fade away. James 3:1, let not many become teachers. King James interprets this, be not many masters. Right? NASB teachers, King James masters. The Greek word appears 48 times in the Gospels. 41 times it refers to Jesus Christ. In the epistles, it often refers to the pastor teacher of a local church, as it does here in James 3:1. Let not many become teachers, my brethren, knowing, and I wonder how many congregations, I wonder how many pastors really know this fact about the judgment seat of Christ. Yes. Yes. It was interesting in dealing with Peter. Run out of time. But it was interesting in dealing with Peter. I will make you fishers of men. Evangelistic. Witnessing. Chapter 21. Tend my flock. Feed my sheep. Pastor. From evangelist to pastor. It's an amazing transition that Peter went through. Unbelievable what happened in his life. Okay, now, not many become teachers, my brethren, knowing, again I wonder how many pastors know this about the judgment seat of Christ, that as such, that is, as those responsible for the spiritual growth in the Word of God, we will incur or receive from Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ a stricter judgment. King James shall receive the greater condemnation. Now, let me just stop before. Well, Kenneth Weiss shall receive a more severe sentence of condemnation. Now, pastors like to fight and argue. It's a fun type of thing. Does this happen in life, or is this just at the judgment seat of Christ? A lot of people say, this is in life. No, people. A lot of these that have sordid gain, they will die with their sordid gain. Every now and then, some fall. But don't plan on all of them doing that. They will die thinking they have been blessed of God. They will, but it's not going to be happening at the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is when this strict judgment comes into play. That's why a lot of them get away with it during their life. I believe, personally, that if a pastor knows about the filling of the Spirit and fails in those areas, he's under strict judgment. But ultimately, it's at the judgment seat of Christ. Okay, the pastor teacher has the opportunity of receiving the crown of glory at the judgment seat of Christ, but he also is under severe judgment. On what basis? We've studied this already in 1 Corinthians 3:8. Now he who plants, he who waters are one, but each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Talking about pastors. The context is the pastor teacher watering with the Word of God. He will be judged according to whether or not he teaches the Word of God in truth. Not to please men, but to please Jesus Christ, the chief shepherd. Whether his labor was in the power of the Holy Spirit or in the energy of the flesh. Verse 9, for we, pastor teachers, are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. People, know who you are and respect that. Know who you are and respect that. Very quick example. Years ago, a lot of you don't know, a football player for the Dallas Cowboys named Ron Springs. He was drafted by the Cowboys. He was a super halfback. And then they pulled the plug on him. They drafted Emmitt Smith. Thank you. They drafted Emmitt Smith. The first year, Ron Springs blew it royally. And I heard him personal testimony. He made up his mind over the summer between seasons. Okay, I'm to be a blocker. That's now what I'm to do. I need to block for Emmitt Smith. And that next year, he had one of his best productive years. People, you've got to accept. Know what you are and accept it. And then perform at it in the power of the Spirit as Christians. This is very important. Verse 9, for we pastor teachers are God's fellow workers. You're God's field, God's building. Know who you are. Know what your responsibilities are. And then perform them in the power of the Spirit. Verse 10, according to the grace of God which has been given to me, like a wise master builder, I, Paul, laid a foundation. Another is building on it. That's what I'm doing. I'm building on it. But each man, each pastor, must be careful how he builds on it. Specifically, what materials he uses. Does he teach the Word of God or human viewpoint, human philosophy? Verse 11, for no man, no pastor teacher, can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any pastor teacher builds on a foundation, that foundation is Jesus Christ, and his building is what he teaches, with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw. These are six categories of what we call Bible doctrine. Six categories. Gold, silver, and precious stones refers to sound doctrine that will cause the believer to grow spiritually, while wood, hay, and straw are not false doctrines, false teaching, but they will not carry the believer through the storms of life. They'll not endure him at the judgment seat of Christ. Just makes him feel good when he walks out of the church, but gives him no stability in life. Verse 12, each pastor's work will become evident for the day. Judgment seat of Christ will show it. Because it will be revealed with fire. And every pastor teacher is going to have to stand there and watch what he taught, tested by fire at the judgment seat of Christ. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. Was the quality he taught from the study of the Word of God? Did he teach verse by verse? Was he teaching, allowing those who consistently heard him to grow spiritually? Or did they just walk out feeling good? Did they grow spiritually and perform to receive at the judgment seat of Christ? Did what he taught cause them to listen and to receive, to those who listen to him, to receive rewards at the judgment seat of Christ? People, this study's done something for me. I just want every one of you to get lots of rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. That's what I want. And in my flesh nature, I want to say, look, Joel, look at my little group. Where's your big church? Ain't one of them received anything. Now back into the Spirit. That's what I want, though. I want every one of you to receive rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. This is the great issue. We have seen many times that it is important to you to listen to who you listen to at teaching the Word of God. Well, it will be very important to you when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Did your pastor teacher teach the Word of God where you will receive rewards at the judgment of Christ? Verse 14, if any man, pastor teacher, work, teaching of the Word of God, which he has built on, remains, it remains from the fire. He will receive a reward. We know from 1 Peter, this is the crown of glory. Now, he will come under severe judgment of the pastor. But, verse 15, if any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. Loss of reward, not salvation. Loss of reward at the judgment seat of Christ. Many look at the worth of the pastor teacher by his reward from man. But to be wise, it will be the reward from Jesus Christ that is the most important. But he himself will be saved as through fire. Now we come to you. Verse 16. We'll close with this. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Don't allow the world to define who you are. Listen to the Word of God. Verse 9. You are God's field of production. You are God's building standing in the world. Verse 16. You are a temple. The Spirit of God dwells in you. People, you should pay close attention to who you are in God's sight. It's wonderful that your mama thought you were wonderful. And it certainly is wonderful that your husband and wife think you're wonderful. When your teenager thinks you're wonderful, you might want to think about that. Say, but what counts is what does God think? What does Christ think? You should care very much the growth of your life as a field of production for God. This depends on just whom you listen to teach the Word of God. You care who teaches your children. You care who operates on your body. You should care all the more who teaches you the Word of God. People, we prayed this morning for the surgeon that will work on Dalton tomorrow morning. I ask for your prayers every day. I ask for your prayers as I study the Word of God. I need your prayers. That my flesh nature doesn't get in the way. That distractions don't get in the way. And that the Holy Spirit can reveal the truth. I need your prayers daily. I'm in fervent need of them. Just as that doctor needs them. I need them. Alright? You care who teaches your children. You care who operates on your body. You should care all the more who teaches you the Word of God. What is he using for building material? Make you feel good sermons? Are gold, silver, and precious stones from the Word of God. You are the temple of God. You are taught from the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, who dwells in you for a designed purpose of God. Are you taught to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And how? To walk in the Holy Spirit, to be led of the Holy Spirit, keep in step with the Holy Spirit, and how? Make your life count for all eternity. Not just for now. We are born not of our request. We live out our lives by the choices we make. Then we are removed from the scene of earth. We hope somehow we might be remembered. But time moves on so quickly. Most of us are soon forgotten in a generation, maybe two. But oh, to be remembered in the future at the judgment seat of Christ. How we live these short days can be forgotten in time and eternity. Or they can result in eternal glorification of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Live your life in light of the judgment seat of Christ. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we value our time on earth. It's our opportunity to glorify our Savior friend, Jesus Christ. But Heavenly Father, we know we live for all eternity with Christ. We know that preceding that, we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I pray, Heavenly Father, that your Spirit will guide each and every one of us each and every day to make that day count for the day we will stand before Christ. Each day of our lives, will stand for that one day when we stand before Christ. Father, I thank you so much for revealing the details of this event, that we can look forward to it with joy, not fear and trembling, but with joy, anticipating with Paul receiving of these rewards. Father, I pray your Spirit can use what we've seen this morning, bring joy, peace, soul of those who hear, become a reality in our lives, and our instruction for life. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.